Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind, sharing lessons from the creatives of yesteryear for the population of today.
Saltwater input readings.
On one, pumping rate 530.
On two, 438.
Check pressures.
Pressure normal. Flow rate stable.
Freshwater output.
On one, 1,000 gallons a minute.
On two, 980 per minute.
Great. Well, coming up for our first 250 hours on service and not a sign of trouble.
Shouldn't you cross your fingers, knock on wood or something?
I don't see why.
Two British-designed desalination plants have exploded as they neared 250 hours of operation, and an order for 10 plants in the United States now hangs in the balance. Suspecting sabotage, the bishop has assigned Stanley Unwin and Matthew to ensure that the last remaining plant at Port Trenick stays operational. Is it all a question of miracles? Perhaps we'll find out via Resonance Rewind.
Turning in circles, return to rejected the voices I hear. Some aren't respected. I look from the bottom, I sink to the top. And I said it before, you're so beautiful now. What's the point of arguing? And all that I is all that I make, and know that you can, and not just a big mistake.
Well, where do we start? Probably at the beginning. It's the second episode, of course, of the Secret Service that we've actually seen. Although, maybe again, there may be more. Who knows? Let's find out from somebody who's key insights into small people and tiny things and teeny tiny top pots of tea and suitcases and indeed all manner of things, especially cheese sandwiches, certainly is postgraduate level. Let's turn to Jessica Burtis. How are you, Jessica? And what did you make of the Secret Service episode 2? Did you see episode 1, by the way?
I thought that they were like separate episodes, but now it does make me want to go back and watch a lot of this season because this episode was just so cute. I love the tiny people episodes that we watch, and this was no different. I just love how they were already like, I imagine smaller dolls or miniatures. I usually imagine them as miniatures. And then he was shrunken down even smaller. That was just so cute. And I think that one of the best parts of the episode was, yeah, him as a very tiny dude holding this massive sandwich. That was so adorable. Just, you know, even more than the plot, the cheese sandwich got me.
I sometimes forget your diminished stature, Matthew, Father Stanley Unwin would actually say, in terms of his response to that side of things there. So, I mean, in terms of the sort of narrative as it actually develops, I mean, clearly America playing a key role in directing this plot because it's all about whether America is going to actually purchase 10 of these desalination plants, or will they actually simply work through the process and have to deal with the sabotage. So, from that point of view, how did you feel that the narrative unfold?
I thought it was definitely not what I had expected. I think that the element of having this religious figure as one of the agents was really interesting, and it kind of made me want to look into the history of that and if there were some instances of clergy ever being involved in the government in that way or anything like that. But it was really funny to see him driving around in his little old car, dealing with global espionage
A
out of the box to have
1917
the
Model
radar
T
and all that.
Ford.
Yes, the classic one, you know. So I think that was pretty funny. It was just, I think, very different from something that we've watched of the undercover shows because it was just so unexpected. I think that made it really interesting.
But
And also just the whole the desalination plot and watching it break apart and go into the water. I thought that the effects in the show also were really good, so they made the plot feel more real. Which sometimes when we watch the tiny people, the stakes of the plot can't feel don't feel quite as life or death or as intense. But with this one it did, so that was really good.
Yes, Matthew, who of course in the pilot episode had to quite literally dismantle two aircraft plane engines, this time finds himself with a potential bomb situation on his hands, which he needed to obviously prevent from first of all entering the desalination plant and then of course redirect it so it actually sort of struck the enemy's submarine. Anna Coscarnell is with us. It's her second Resonance Rewind. Obviously, last week you might have been surprised by the Secret Service. This was your second episode of the Secret Service. We had, of course, the cross, not the crucifix, but the cross in there. We had It's a Miracle. We had faith. We had all sorts of other issues with respect to that. What are your thoughts?
I found it quite different than the first episode. It was I think better, to be honest. So I gave an 8 to the first episode. Now I'm gonna retract it to a 7 because I like this one better. I don't know. I think the plot was better than the first one, and in the first one it was quite hard to follow through the middle with the following and everything. Here it was easier. And you were talking about fate with the cross and when he fainted and they came to resuscitate him. I found that quite funny, to be quite honest, especially their dialogue and how at the same time Matthew was underwater and he was trying to find the way to disarm the machinery and the bomb. I liked that, to be quite honest.
Yeah, there was always that tension as the ticking clock, a plot device that's much used in drama in all sorts of ways. I mean, in this case, the clock was quite ticking up to 250 hours, after which, of course, the problem was actually reached. And it doesn't matter whether you crossed your fingers or anything else, the plant effectively would explode. But it was sabotage, of course. Jessica, villains of the piece. I mean, clearly, if you recognize the puppet, would have realized that he was a barefaced liar because the man who was lying to his boss was saying to the boss that actually, it was a case of the points were valueless, etc. He then even lied to his colleague in the British areas as well. He said that it was all his boss that said he didn't want to do anything because it was sabotage.
Yeah, I think that the honestly the villains in this one, usually the villains stand out quite a bit to me, but in this one it was the heroes that I think excuse me, yawning. I think it was the heroes that were the more interesting part. I think again just because having a clergy figure as the spy was just so interesting that that already and then the tiny Matthew being shrunken down even tinier. I think that kind of stole the attention. So I didn't pay quite as much to the villains, unfortunately, but I still think that their whole plot was still devious and interesting enough to make me want to keep watching.
Of course, we do have the situation of Mrs. Appleby, actually the sole female role in this particular area, the housekeeper for Father Unwin, who's clearly still trying to seek out Matthew, who in this instance obviously has to literally hide behind the bookcase before obviously she's called out. It probably would have been a nasty shock for Mrs. Appleby had that been the case, but so it goes. Anna, in terms of favourite moments, any particular moments in this particular episode that stood out for you?
I think that one when he was shrinking right before she entered the room, that was quite funny, and I think that one was nice. And near the end, when there were a few more moments until the time was up, when he was hurrying, and he was it was that song on in the background, that was nice, not funny, but like the shrinking moment when she entered the room and she was like standing at the door and he was like right behind, that was nice.
Matthew,
quickly, Matthew, conceal yourself.
Excuse me, Father, but I've been looking all over for Matthew. He's gone again.
Really? Well, I saw him only a moment ago.
If he's not here, I can't think where he can be.
Rest assured, Mrs. Appleby, he must be about somewhere.
Matthew? Matthew?
Well, Matthew, I think this will suit us admirably.
A lovely spot, don't you think?
You forget, Father. My view is slightly limited.
Ideal for a picnic. The sandy beach, the dunes, and the sea itself. Looking particularly peaceful today, I would venture.
Clear, take it down.
Another sandwich, Matthew.
No, thank you, Father. This one's more than enough for me.
Ah, Matthew, I was forgetting your diminished stature. More tea, then.
If you really think we've got time, Father.
All the time in the world, Matthew. All the time in the world.
Mr. Blake?
Yes, sir. I was warned to expect you. Straight through for the control building.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Nothing like a well-brewed cup of tea on a hot day, Matthew.
Well, we actually heard Pamela Suman's Hands tune, which you said needed to be played because she was very much taken with the inserts of Hands in the last episode. She couldn't join us today, but at least her music launched this particular discussion side of the episode and so on. Jessica, what about favourite moments for yourself? I mean, I personally must admit, I thought the classic quintessential British driving soul who kind of passes the Model T Ford by, reverses back and says, "Hello there." It's kind of everything that probably as an American, you would have said, "Yeah, well, that's the British people." Or yeah, "Hello there, how are you?" A genuine Model T. Not totally authentic there, is it?
Yeah, I think maybe there were some very stereotypical British moments with the giant cup of tea he was clearly loving. I think that so many moments of this were just so excellent, which again surprised me because I just hadn't thought, I don't know, with the Secret Service plot, I hadn't expected it to just be so adorable. But I think any of the driving scenes with the little car.
Hello
there.
Matthew, I may be slightly delayed. Excuse me, I was just pulling onto the road.
What have we here? A genuine Model T. What year is it?
1917. I'm delighted to see you're an enthusiast too, sir, but I'm in a terrible hurry.
Hang on, old boy. The headlamps. Well, surely they're not authentic.
Oh, yes, they are. You'll find that metrics is so which Henry Ford did use it of that. Oh, yes.
Well, you see the colour. That's wrong. Any colour, just as long as it's black, old Henry Ford used to say.
Now, I must insist, sir, when you're putting a finger load on whatever your mission threat for this and guiding people odors, this is always removing the eyebolt, right?
Well, I was just pointing out...
Always enjoying the time for a chat, but must strictly have on the mission load of that. Oh, yes. Okay. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Minutes to go, sir.
How long for your patient, Doctor?
It's hard to say. He's not responding.
Sure. Get onto the gate, please. Redouble their efforts to find a priest.
Right away, sir.
I thought all hospitals had priests. No, we've got a doctor. We've got several, as a matter of fact. What we want is a priest.
Anyone at home?
No, you don't understand. I haven't lost a priest. I'm trying to find one.
Excuse me, anyone there?
Will you hold on a moment? This is urgent.
I just wanted to know if I was right for Port Trenick.
Straight on. Left at the crossroads.
Thank you, my son.
Yes, a priest I was asking about. That's a priest. A priest. Father! 1 minute, Father!
Did you want me for something, my son?
Report position.
Approaching target. Course true. Estimated release 60 seconds.
I think that seeing the priest flying around in the Model T, it was really fun. And I think that also the little secret meetings were really interesting with the little radar. And I also liked the clips interspersed of England during that time, like seeing Big Ben with all the cars, all those old cars. I thought those were really nice to see. So I do like the period that this was set in. I find it very interesting that they set it in this period. I'm curious about why, but I enjoyed that.
I mean, the series itself was obviously filmed in 1969, and the inserts of Parliament and so on were pretty much as taken live from 1969. I think the original plotline for the Secret Service had it set in the early 21st century, when obviously desalination plants were very much to the fore, and the technology was there to work through that. So it was set slightly after another series we've looked at, which, of course, is Joe 90, also directed by Leo Eaton and, of course, created by Jerry and Sylvia Anderson. And that one, of course, being The Adventures of the Nine-Year-Old Boy, who has other people's brain patterns overlaid on his psyche, as we know, Jessica. Anna, back to yourself again. In terms of characters, who stood out and who is going to receive your official nomination as favourite character?
Think. Last time, I think it was Matthew, if I'm not wrong, right?
Yeah, I mean, Matthew was definitely there. I mean, we still have, of course, Stanley Unwin, Father Stanley Unwin. We obviously have the Bishop, played by Jeremy Wilkin. And, of course, there's always Mrs. Appleby. But we have added to that, of course, the voice of and Agent Blake, who Agent Blake, played by Keith Alexander, literally doesn't even know why he's actually doing that, but he knows he has to wear the cross and take the pill precisely at 7 o'clock, which is obviously going to suspend all his inner systems and confuse the doctors so much that the only thing they'll have to do, showing, if anything, a true leap of faith, is ask for a priest. And let's not forget the security guard, who clearly actually has difficulty even recognizing a priest when he's right in front of him.
Well, I wanted to see Matthew again, but since I chose him last time, I am going to go with the agent, because it was quite funny how he was all confused with what he has to do. And I also wanted to choose Mrs. Appleby, but she's, I feel like we're gonna see her around, so I do have time to choose her another time.
It'd be a bit of a gap, but what the hey. Jessica, I mean, obviously this is the end of our quartet of spy-themed or spy-fi-themed Resonance Rewinds. We've obviously had the Mission Impossible Force dealing with the Cardinal that they took out of the prison with respect to Old Man Out and the aspects within that. What about favourite characters from yourself from this particular episode? Because you obviously were around for the first episode of Case for the Bishop, which was looked at last time.
I do think it would be the clergyman because he was just so interesting. He was just so sweet. And I can't remember his name.
Father Stanley Unwin.
Thank you, Father Unwin. So I think that he was really interesting. And again, he was just so quirky and eccentric with like the car. And I just think that he was very compelling as a character. And when he first popped up on the screen, I was like so shocked because I thought it was going to be another one of like a government agency full of real people, not miniatures, you know. So I thought it was going to kind of be again with the situation with like with the last ones that we have watched. But I actually really enjoy how different this was. And he just was so compelling with that. So I thought that him being part of the church just was so interesting that it made it different than quite a lot of the other shows that we've watched.
It was a significant departure for Jerry and Sylvia Anderson because in their previous shows, there was quite clearly a male lead character, whether it was Steve Zodiac in Fireball XL5, Troy Tempest in Stingray, the Thunderboy, the Tracy brothers in Thunderbirds, Captain Scarlet, obviously, in Captain Scarlet, and of course, Joe 90 in Joe 90. And as you say, Jessica, I think the initial reason this series probably didn't take off in more ways than one was, well, twofold. First of all, yes, you had a very unusual leading character as the hero. Not so unusual if you think about G.K. Chesterton's writing, because obviously Father Brown was very much embedded in the whole process, but even Father Brown didn't really work for the British Secret Service, or indeed British Intelligence Service Operation Priest. And I think that coupled with the fact that actually Stanley Unwin plays himself as Stanley Unwin, insofar as the actor and the character tend to be are the same. And Stanley Unwin's use, as we said last time, of Unwinese, which is where he effectively uses all kinds of strange, quirky words in times, was only used again once in this particular episode, where it confuses the heck out of anybody who he feels is actually preventing him from, in this particular case, carrying on with the case and getting on with it. So Stanley Unwin gets your vote then, Jessica.
I think so. I think just that whole surprising element also just made me really wanting to get to know him more. So yeah, I think they made an interesting choice. I think Jerry's decision was a good one.
Do you think it could actually be remade today? Would you sort of, I mean, there were 14 episodes in the original series. Would you actually go for a remake, or have we moved into far more cynical times?
I think that we could definitely have a remake. Now, would it be a remake with miniatures, or would it be a remake with real people? That's the question. Because I'm sure our special effects with our miniatures have increased. So that could be really interesting to see.
I suspect it might be a remake with CGI, if folk actually work through that. There will, of course, for completists, literally in a few weeks' time, be a bookazine featuring the entire series, The Secret Service, which Jamie Anderson's releasing as part of Anderson Entertainment. And, of course, there is the DVD and soundtrack and music, plus T-shirts and various other things. So it's gradually sort of getting its claim to fame after being very much relegated for many, many years and viewed very much as the orphan child of Jerry and Sylvia Anderson, the one series that never really took off. 14 episodes and cancelled because Lou Grade thought it was just preposterous that you'd have Unwinese being put into place there. Anna, what about yourself in terms of the score that you're going to go for this? In fact, actually, before we go for that, do you think there could be a Romanian version of The Secret Service?
Most definitely, yes, but I don't think it's going to work with puppets as Superman. I think it's going to be just like live action in Romania. But overall, I think thinking of a remake in general in Britain, in all over the world, or USA, I think it would work. And just like Jessica said, I think they would have like better features right now in 2023. But yeah, I think it would be a great idea, but live action, definitely not, not otherwise.
So what's your score then, Anna? Your, as you said, you gave last week 8 out of 10. That was kind of locked in there, but you seem to be saying that you want to actually reduce the score for episode one and drop it into to various other stuff. Anyway, it's entirely up to yourself. If you've got a time machine, yes, feel free to do that.
Because, you know why? Because I like this one more. And the before one, if I would keep that to 8, I would have to give this one 9, which I don't feel it's a 9. So I'm just going to give this one an 8 and a 7.5 to the other one.
Okay, so a bit of moderation and marking going on with respect to Anna Koskinen. Jessica, what are you going to go for in terms of score times for your first edition of The Secret Service? Will it be a classic case of yes, unmissable, or will it be a question of miracles?
Oops, sorry, I was frozen for a second there. I think it's an 8 for me. I think that so many of the elements were interesting and I think very different from a lot of the spy shows from before. But also, I mean, that tiny cheese sandwich, well, not tiny, that giant cheese sandwich, I think was just so cute. I cannot overlook it. So definitely a good 8, very solid.
Yeah, so interesting that it was a cheese sandwich that actually was there, as opposed to any of the other possible sandwich combinations that could have been used. I mean, it was quite clearly a cheese sandwich, and probably actually it seemed to be a cheese slice sandwich. Well, it didn't seem to be sort of like a chunky cheese sandwich. It was just a very basic plain cheese sandwich, which clearly Matthew was having difficulty actually digesting. Maybe a bit like the plot line, some might say, but there we are. I'm, from my own point of view, I think I'll go for an 8 as well. I think 8 is pretty much where it sort of sits. It's not the finest piece of televisual drama I've seen, but a bit like maybe one of those cheese sandwiches. You have one and you need to have another and work through the process. Very Moorish, the Secret Service from that point of view. Jessica, we haven't spoken about the music. Barry Gray, of course. And the Mike Sam singers, the first time that, as Pamela said last time, she was very taken with the Mike Sam skit singers and the sort of doobie 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 doobie, et cetera, approach. Did you think that enhanced the actual production?
I do. I thought that the music was really nice. I think that it suited the atmosphere of the show very well. And I think that, I mean, anytime there's movie, like music from the 60s, and I think that it sounds so good. I think that it complemented the show. And it, I think the soundtrack, if it's like this, it just, I don't know, it's makes me think of like the kind of music I would hear in a bookstore, but way more energized in a way that it's kind of, it felt very exciting. It felt like a tiny little miniature spy show soundtrack. I thought it was perfect.
Absolutely. Well, there we are. It's the Secret Service tucked away, put in its own little briefcase for a time for, well, will it emerge again? Who knows? Possibly, but not for the foreseeable future, because next week on Resonance Rewind, we are going back into the universe of Star Trek, you'll be pleased to know, Jessica. We're also taking a line which actually features those Western Cossacks with poisonous snakes and cactus, as indeed Pavel Chekhov was prone to say, in which, yes, Pavel Chekhov has to conceivably fend off the possibility of marriage, and the rest of the crew have to deal with the illusions of the Melkosians when effectively they are all returned to the period of Tombstone, Arizona in the 19th century, and the crew of the Enterprise have to deal with the spectre of the gun. That's coming next on Resonance Rewind. Meanwhile, to Anna Koskinen and to Jessica Burtis, huge thanks, and keep on resonating.
You shall be punished. You, Captain Kirk, yours shall be the pattern of your death.
I'm not Ike Clanton.
Well, I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Kirk.
You've got until 5 tonight to get your horse-stealing, scurvy crew out of town.
The Earps will kill the Clantons at the OK Corral at 5 o'clock.
We are the Clantons.
At 1 minute past 5, you'll find a hole in your head right from this gun.
Billy!
We're not gonna move from this spot.
They're shadows, illusions, nothing but ghosts.
Town, tried hard to settle down.